In the vineyards of the Lord, there are all kinds of people. One of the very special people was Francis Bernardoni, who became known as Francis of Assisi. And we spend the entire year celebrating the 800th birthday anniversary, simply because very few saints were as prophetic as he was. Everything that he stood for in a prophetic kind of way 8 centuries ago still has relevance today for us people. He was a troubadour as a young man, a singer who went around the countryside making people happy with his songs. Today he would be like a rock singer, makes all kinds of records and songs, and the words would be as they are today: sad, lonely, leave, stay, love, sunshine, stars, and peace. And Francis loved a good time. He was popular. He wanted excitement, and he spent a great deal of his dad's money finding it, because he came from a very wealthy family. His father imported cloth, and he wanted Francis to take over the business later on. And he wanted Francis to be a social success so that he would be a good wholesale merchant. But Francis also wanted adventure. It was not difficult to find then, because adventure, above all, was found in the army. Now, to understand what happened, you have to have a little picture of the geography of where he was born and lived. In Umbria, in Italy, there's a long series of towns built on hills. We call them the Umbrian Hills. They are surrounded with orchards of olive trees, and on the top of each hill, something like Mount Angel Abbey, there is a town situated. And around each town, there's a wall to protect the people of one town from the people of the other town. Perugia, Assisi, dozens of them. Siena, to protect them because they were always fighting. There were civil wars going on all of the time. Francis became a soldier. He put on his armor, and he thought he would have a wonderful, glorious time, but alas and alack, he was captured by the people of Perugia and tossed into a dank, cold prison, where he spent one whole year with lots and lots of time to think, meditate. He was also a religious man. And he wondered what his life was all about, because he was now in his early 20s. And after a year, he was released and went back again to being a troubadour, but he was not the same. And one day, as he was singing out in the byways of the country, he heard the dreaded bell that warned of an oncoming leper. Now, lepers, he knew, were ugly people, because they were scarred and their skin was rotting. And Francis also had the feeling that the one approaching him was contagious. What he really wanted to do was hold his nose and quit the scene fast, run away. And that would not have surprised the leper at all, because that's why the leper rang the bell, to warn the people to run in the opposite direction. What startled this foul-smelling beggar leper was that the young Francis stayed put. And in fact, Francis came close, and he kissed the leper reverently. Now, all of us clean-smelling Americans today have lots of troubles with odors. But hugging that stinking fellow really seemed risky. Now, what difference does it make that even happened? To Francis, it was as though that one leper had squeezed all of the ugliness out of the entire world. And at that moment, everything that Francis saw, and he saw a lot that he had never seen before, appeared beautiful. And he turned around to thank the leper for giving him this insight that everything in the world around him was so beautiful, but the leper had disappeared mysteriously. Now, had Francis held the Lord in disguise at that moment? Francis, from that moment on, had a new understanding of life that never disappeared. And that experience with a leper taught him two lessons that he spent the rest of his life teaching people. One, that nothing that God ever created was ugly. Sometimes, he said, people must get closer to see how lovable and how beautiful everything is in life and in people. He began to recognize that the kind of clothes a person wears, and the kind of friends he has, and how many party invitations he receives, really is not the most important thing in life at all. And then Francis noticed that the people around him were ignoring the beauty of nature. They were wasting things. They were allowing buildings to fall apart and not be repaired. And their neglect of the things of earth were hurting the earth. Ecology was being disturbed. Francis showed respect for the earth and all things about it, and he wasted nothing. And he did this not because he was afraid, but rather because he had learned to treasure the good things of the earth as the gifts that God has given to us directly. And about this time, Francis Bernardoni was in his mid-20s. He had such a good time singing and dreaming that he thought maybe he should ask the Lord what all of this would lead to. And one day, he was down in the chapel of San Damiano, which is about a mile down the hill from the town of Assisi. And the little chapel, as so many chapels at that time, was falling apart. And he sat there in front of a crucifix, which today still remains in the city of Assisi, in the convent of St. Clair. And in Assisi, I got this copy of the crucifix that spoke to St. Francis, the original San Damiano crucifix is about 6 feet tall. And the Lord's picture on this cross is one of the most beautiful that I've ever seen, because the eyes of Christ are alive, they are open. Christ is suspended between death and resurrected life. And he heard the voice of Christ say to him, Francis, rebuild my church, which is falling apart. Now at first, Francis thought that it meant that he should clean up the churches with new mortar, put the bricks and the stones back together again, and repair the roofs. But then he discovered the mystery of the words of Christ. Christ really meant, my church's people, rebuild my people. Help them to understand the good words of the gospel that I brought. They've forgotten. All they do is fight among themselves and waste the gifts that I gave to them. And Francis went around then, telling the people what he had learned. And people began to listen to him. And men by the dozens and by the hundreds began to put down their armor and to join him. And he said, I will call you little brothers, friars minor, because what you will be doing is nothing that important, but you will be doing the work of the Lord in little things. And then women, beginning with Claire Sheafy, asked to join. And she later on became the foundress of the Franciscan Sisters. It's in the convent where her body is today that the cross of San Damiano is under a huge glass case next to her body and next to the body of Francis. Then whole families said, why don't we learn how to live in peace and live the Christ life in our homes with our children? And Francis said, all right, I will give you a rule based upon the good news of Jesus. He said, from now on, you are not to take up any weapons. You are to take the greeting of Jesus in truth. Peace be with you from now on is going to have meaning in your lives. And Francis said, that is going to be the story of my life. Peace can come only if you stop fighting. And so men put down their battle armor, and it worked. Today, particularly Americans are so sentimental. Think that all Francis did was to wear a brown cloak with a white rope around it. You sleep outside, and to talk to the birds whom he loved very much, and to wolves whom he domesticated and blessed. And they plant Francis in their bird bath and think nothing much more about him. Birds and animals played one part in the life of Francis. And 30 years ago, I also felt that Francis' life revolved about that. And they made that panel of Francis with the birds and wire, and the sun in burlap, because then Francis began to call all creation by the words brother and sister. He said, brother sun and sister moon. And he called people brothers and sisters. And yet Francis' following of the gospel was much more profound than just loving animals and people in a surface kind of way. He discovered that he lived in a world which is very much like the world we live in today. People then and people now count their own personal worth as men and women so often by the beautiful clothing they wear, the fine dinners they enjoy, the expensive homes they live in. But when Francis met that poor leper, a whole new beginning began in his life, and he left the old values behind. He began to see life in a different way, with different values. He acted boldly, bravely, to correct that mistake. And he learned how to serve people by asking them to pray with him, and to serve people by sharing what they had with those who had less. And his people learned what Francis was trying to understand them to do. Francis then was visited by a seraph angel and asked Francis to take part in the sufferings of Christ. And the angel appeared and impressed upon the palms of Francis' hands and upon his feet and upon his side the wounds of Jesus Christ on the cross. And to his dying day, Francis experienced the painful stigmata of the wounds of Christ in his own body. To show in a dramatic way that all of us who are called by Christ to follow the news of the gospel are told to join our sufferings and our pain because they make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. All of us are the body of Christ. All of us, like Francis, are called upon to be tough with ourselves, but he never became angry himself. He loved the earth and people enough to call them brothers and sisters, and he continued to sing his love songs with words like stars and warm and love and sun. But then and now there was still the bad news of war and hunger, disease and crime. And Francis kept in training by praying and by serving. And if Francis were alive today, he would translate his apostolate by joining the prophetic figures that we have witnessed in our own time. Today, Francis of Assisi would be named in the same breath as Daniel Berrigan, Mahatma Gandhi, Dorothy Day, Martin Luther King. Today, Francis of Assisi would be leading peace marches. He would be leading demonstrations against nuclear warfare. And even though we Americans would sentimentalize him, in reality, he would ask us to call all people brothers and sisters. And he would say to us, "May the peace of Christ disturb you."